Next Tuesday night, we go on television from coast to coast at prime evening time. For three consecutive nights, we will have the opportunity of preaching the gospel to millions of Americans. This will be one of the greatest evangelistic opportunities we've ever had. Never before have we had so many stations in so many strategic cities. This has been a daring step of faith. The cost of these three telecasts will be nearly $500,000. We prayed about this decision almost as much as any decision we've ever made. It was finally decided that this election year of 1964 is one of the most critical in American history. The only time that television stations across the nation would sell prime evening time was this week, just before their winter programs begin. We need the prayers and support of Christians everywhere during this week that the gospel will make an impact on the nation from Los Angeles to New York and from Buffalo to Miami. On Tuesday night, I'm going to speak on the subject of conversion. I will answer questions concerning redemption and salvation that so many people are asking. On Wednesday night, I will speak primarily to young people about the problems facing youth as they go back to school this fall. On Thursday night, I will speak on the subject of the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is our prayer that thousands of Christians all over the nation will use these telecasts as an opportunity for evangelism. You can invite your friends and neighbors to watch. Some people serve refreshments, have a little social time, and then watch the telecast. During the last series of telecasts from San Diego, we had literally thousands of people write us letters telling of either rededication to Christ or conversion to Christ as a result of an all-out effort on the part of their neighbors and friends taking advantage of this opportunity for evangelism. We hope that you will be watching and praying next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. In a few cities, the dates are slightly different because some stations could not clear the time in consecutive nights. Consult the television guide or your newspapers. We are now in the midst of the Omaha, Nebraska crusade. Already the attendance and results are beyond our expectation. For months, thousands of people in Nebraska and Iowa have been praying. We are witnessing the answer to their prayers. Omaha is a vital and growing city located on the west bank of the Missouri River, on the eastern boundary of the state of Nebraska. Just across the river is Council Bluffs, Iowa, a city of nearly 100,000. Omaha is the world's largest livestock market and meat processing center. It is the second largest producer of frozen food products in the country and one of the most important grain markets in the world. It is also the home of the Strategic Air Command, which guards the nation's security 24 hours a day. Omaha has a space-loving Midwestern concept of city living. Residents' property comes with more ground around it, bigger yards than most of the cities of the United States. 6 out of 10 Omaha families own their own homes. Omaha is a city of schools, colleges, and universities. There are more than 300 churches here, and more than 60% of the population belong to some church. This is a prospering, bustling, moving city that is only beginning to feel some of the social problems that other great eastern cities are feeling. The ministers of this city invited us here 3 years ago. We are just now accepting their invitation, and already we are seeing God at work in the same way that we watched Him work in San Diego last spring, in Columbus, Ohio last summer. We know that Christians throughout the world are praying for these evangelistic meetings here in Omaha, Nebraska. We can sense and feel your prayers. Word has just come that a number of American missionaries are in danger in the Belgian Congo. Stories are also coming out of the Congo of great suffering on the part of Christians. Christian leaders have been persecuted, beaten, and killed. The lives of both nationals and missionaries are in danger. Not only is this true in the Congo, but it is becoming true in other parts of Africa. There seems to be an almost satanic-inspired movement against Christianity in some parts of Africa as Satan is wrestling for the soul of Africa. In many parts of the world, the winds of change are sweeping through missionary societies. There is a sense in which the gospel has already reached the ends of the earth by radio, literature, and many other means of proclamation. There are still tribes, however, in Africa, Latin America, New Guinea, and in other parts of the world that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. The era in which modern missions took their rise has ended. The cultural explosion which has carried Western ideas of science, commerce, and politics into every part of the world has had a kind of fulfillment. These ideas and explosive human forces which they release are no longer the exclusive property of the West. They are rapidly becoming the property of all mankind. Thus, there are those today who say that the work of the Christian missionary is over. I heard a preacher this summer say that he thought it would be a good idea if we brought 50% of all the missionaries home. I do not believe that. I believe there's a greater need for missions today than ever before. The very word missionary means one who is sent. It is the same as the word apostle. The word apostle is from the Greek. The word missionary is from the Latin. The New Testament is a book of missions. The Gospels tell of Jesus' missionary accomplishments. The book of Acts tells of the missionary efforts of the apostles. Christianity is an aggressive, invasive, urgent, and sometimes offensive faith. Christianity is an exclusive rather than an inclusive ideology. It is broad in its embrace, but narrow in its demands and requirements. There's more need for Christian missionaries today than ever before. The forces of evil are increasing. Paganism is growing. Secularism and materialism are becoming aggressive and hostile. If ever there was a time for the gospel to be proclaimed around the world on every continent, it is at this present hour. Jesus himself was the first missionary. He did not sit passively by and let those who happened to be interested in his teaching come to hear him. He went out to where the sick, the sorrowing, and the sad were, and expounded his message of joy, healing, and salvation. Wherever he went, he challenged, uprooted, and changed men. Even though the vast majority rejected his message, he did not grow discouraged. He urged his disciples to follow, and he would make them to become fishers of men. He told us to preach the gospel to every creature all over the world. Today, we need missions more than before. We live in a world of conflicting, confusing beliefs. We live in a world of complex problems. But more important, we live in a world of deep spiritual need. All you need to do is read the psychological statistics of America. We're cracking up. More than one half of all American hospital beds are occupied by mental patients today. We need missions and evangelism in the United States. We need it in every country of the world. This is no time to pull back. This is no time to lower the flag. This is a time to expand. This is a time to go to all the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is our only hope. The last words of our Lord are still ringing in our ears and binding upon us. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Where this is being effectively done, light is breaking in upon darkened minds and souls. Where this is being done, literacy is increasing. Economic conditions are better. But most important, human hearts are being released from the power of sin and evil. Yes, there are many parts of the world, like the Congo, that are difficult. In some areas, the missionary is greeted with hostility and persecution, but this does not change the fact that Christ has given a command. Of the 10-word command which Jesus gave you and me, the first is a powerful little 2-letter word, go. The Christian is not to sit idly by and watch humanity go on without God, without hope, and without the gospel. We are to step into the breach. We are to stand in the gap, and we are to go and obey the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world is in desperate need. It needs the love of God. The world is confused. It needs the peace of God. Go, said the great commander-in-chief. The word was spoken with a tremendous sense of urgency. It's an exciting, adventurous word. It is up to us to carry out the great commission to our generation. Secondly, we are a people under orders. Go ye, said our Lord and Master. This means that every follower of Jesus Christ has been commanded. It's not just for the professional teacher, the professional evangelist, the professional pastor. It is for every Christian to go to his neighbor, to go to his friends, to testify concerning Jesus Christ. Through the centuries, the Church of Jesus Christ has flourished in exact ratio to its interest in evangelism and missions. William Carey said that he went to India as a missionary to save England from spiritual collapse. If a person inhales and never exhales, he will die. If the church becomes selfish and self-centered and loses its desire and urgency to share the gospel, it will wither away and die. Thirdly, the objective of missions. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Later and more specifically, he said, "Go ye into all the world." The world was close to his heart, on his mind, and in his plans. There is no doubt about it that his objective was to saturate the world with the gospel and to keep the good news perpetually proclaimed. Dr. William Culbertson, president of the Moody Bible Institute, has said, "The battle for the evangelization of the world is being lost. Despite the use of modern means of communication, travel, and better techniques, in spite of the bravery, sacrifice, and isolated victories of consecrated missionaries, the battle is being lost." Why is the battle being lost? One of the reasons is that the rapidly expanding population, which is exploding at the rate of 50 million a year, those without Christ are increasing faster than they are being evangelized. It is a matter of simple arithmetic. However, God's clock of destiny is ticking out the hours. Large sections of the world can yet be reached for Christ and His gospel. Will we sit idly by, or will we obey Christ's command and go everywhere with the saving, redeeming gospel of Jesus Christ? We as Christians should not be discouraged because arithmetic is against us. We are to do it at the command of Christ, even if only one person believes. Look at the day of Noah. When Noah was preaching the gospel, nobody believed. But Noah believed, and he stood alone. And God had a purpose and a plan and a program for Noah. We may be an increasing minority as believers, but we are to keep on proclaiming the gospel. One will believe here. One will believe there. One will believe in the other place. They will be God's called out ones. They will be the ones that are going to be saved in the day of judgment. Fourthly, the method to be employed. The Bible says, proclaim the gospel. The primary task of any representative of Jesus Christ is to proclaim the gospel. Preach it with words. Preach it by the way you live. But preach it. Go into whatever world you're called to and preach the gospel. Go to your labor union and preach the gospel. Go to your business establishment and preach the gospel. Go to your school and preach the gospel. Even on the foreign field, it is necessary for missionaries today to be many things: doctors, farmers, counselors, technicians, and pilots. But always the main job is preaching the gospel. We can give men skills, know-how, and tools, but if we fail to give them the good news of salvation, we've left them without God and without hope. And that's one of the problems in some parts of the world. The people have become civilized materially, with secularism and humanism, but without God. And so the governments are cracking up. Democracy does not work in those areas where God is unknown. Some will say, but don't forget the social aspect of the gospel. And I reply to them, don't you leave out the redemptive aspect of the gospel. Men need their souls to be saved first. Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul." And then you'll have the capacity to love your neighbor as yourself. We've put the cart before the horse. We thought that a person had to be educated before they could come to Christ. We thought that we could educate them into the kingdom of God, but this is not true. They need to be converted first. Then they will have new capacities to live the Christian ethic. And this is where we're falling down in many parts of the world today. When Mr. Morgenthau was ambassador to Turkey, he wrote, "These missionaries are right. They go straight to the foundations and provide those intellectual, physical, moral, and religious benefits upon which alone any civilization can successfully be built." Gladstone once said, "You talk about the question of the day, there is but one question, and that is the gospel. It can and will correct everything needing correction." But what about you? You have a good house. But do you have a home? You have a full wardrobe, but what about your empty heart? You too need Jesus Christ. Here in Omaha, Nebraska, where 60% of the people are members of a church, we are seeing hundreds come forward every night, not only to rededicate and reconfirm their vows that once they took when they entered the church, which they've neglected to keep, but we're seeing people from the outside come in to Christ to receive Him, and to go back and live a newer and fuller life. you can make the same decision. Wherever you are, you may be in Jamaica, you may be in Australia, you may be in New Zealand, you may be in some other part of the world, or you may be here in the United States listening to this broadcast, but you can have a new life. You can receive the same Christ that has transformed thousands of people of all races in every part of the world with every type of cultural background. You come to Jesus Christ today. How do you do it? Repent of your sins. Receive Him as your Savior. Just as simple as that. Repentance means that you acknowledge that you've sinned against God. It means you're willing to give up your sins and by faith receive Him as your Lord and Savior. It can be done now, and you can be a transformed individual. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we pray in Christ's name that the Holy Spirit will carry the challenge of missions to Christians around the world. And may we not sit idly by as our world catches fire, but we pray that we might enter into the problems and burdens of the hour with the glorious transforming message of Jesus Christ, which is the only hope of the world at this moment. For we ask it in His name. Amen.